Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll be joined by Jeff Schwartz, former Chiefs offensive lineman, Panthers offensive lineman. We'll talk to him about what he's seeing from the Chiefs O-line and also the running game and how he would kind of put a spark back into the offense. So I want to play this for you guys. A lot of it stems from the comments that we heard earlier today from Andy Reid. Here's what he said about Jawan Taylor.
You know, when he doesn't have the penalties, his percentage has been good. So, you could argue one of the better tackles in his pass protection game. You know, so, I'm conscious of that, and then I'll take care of it from there.
So that was what Andy Reid had to say earlier today about Jawan Taylor. I think it's pretty safe to say that they are not planning on making any changes at the position. So Speck, he's a part of our show meetings during football season, just, you know, bouncing ideas around. And he said, you know what? I've got a Speck says. And I was like, all right, man, if you got a Speck says, I'm not going to hold you back. So here's what Speck went into the booth to say.
All right, guys, I saw the news today that Jawan Taylor is most likely going to be the starting right tackle on Sunday when the Ravens are here at Arrowhead. And I thought of a comparison that I think makes some sense in terms of loyalty between Andy Reid and Dayton Moore. If you remember, Dayton was fiercely loyal to his guys, from Hosmer to Kane to Moustakas to Hunter Dozier, right? These were guys that he was loyal to and was going to give every opportunity to win as many games as possible with that group. And it was great for 13, 14, 15, 16. But the downside of loyalty is when losing starts popping up. You know, in hindsight, I bet Dayton Moore would have loved to have moved on from Haas and Moose and Kane prior to that 17 season and gotten something in return. But again, he was fiercely loyal to keeping that group together. And that resulted in some really down years from 2017 to 2024. And now you fast forward to the Chiefs, or you go across the parking lot to the Chiefs. You know, Jawan Taylor's been here 3 years, part of three teams that has made it to a Super Bowl, two championships. Sometimes it's hard to see the reality for a guy that you're extremely loyal to. And Mecole Hardman is an example. Bring back Kareem Hunt's an example. Loyalty is always great when you're winning. But sticking with a guy too long because of loyalty is typically how things start to crumble. And I hope that's not the case with Jawan Taylor. I just hope that it's not loyalty keeping him on the field as opposed to something with his play.
Rob, I want to give you a chance to reply to what the boss man had to say. I'm big on their actions over their words. And I understand that we as fans or media or whatever, we feel a certain way about Jawan Taylor. Every action of the Chiefs leads you to believe that they think he's one of the better right tackles in the National Football League. They gave him a tremendous contract, and in the middle of that contract, they then renegotiated it to basically guarantee a third season for him. You could have been out of that deal by now. We wouldn't be having this conversation. But we always talk about restructures, and sometimes I think people hear that and they think that it's a pay cut. No, it's going to a player to move some money around. You kind of got to give something to get something. Sure, if you want me to move some money around, I'm not going to do that so it makes it easier for you to cut me down the line. No, I need you to make certain guarantees. So if I am willing to do this for you, I need you to make sure that I'm going to be good on the back end. That's how they got DeAndre Hopkins. How they got DeAndre Hopkins was ensuring that Jawan Taylor would basically be on this team. Basically, it's what they did. So I think all they've done is get themselves more and more to the Jawan Taylor business of things. So I might have a perception. You might have a perception of things. I don't think the Chiefs see him as the problem as we do. I really don't think they see him as the problem that we do. I don't know how you can really look at it any other way based off they have his replacement on the roster. And at some point, you're just going to have a sunk cost anyway. And it seems like they're going to continue. Like, they've pulled the plug for other players a lot quicker than this. And they continue to let it ride with Jawan Taylor.
So I don't totally disagree with Speck's take here. I'm not sure I'm all in the boat the same way he is. I don't think Andy Reid and Brett Veach have elevated to that Dayton Moore level yet. But I do think Speck is onto something with this comparison, because we talked about it all offseason, and we talked about it during the season last year. There's not a lot of teams in the NFL that love people that know the system more than the Chiefs. Think about all the moves they make. It's all about, hey, is he one of our guys? And they target those people. Kareem Hunt, both last year and now this year. He made McCole Hardman, seems to perpetually be coming back. He's got cut by the Packers. I'm assuming one day in the next 2 weeks, we're going to hit the breaking news sounder. He's on the practice squad. If I were betting, we talk about they bring back their guys. If you have a connection to Matt Nagy or Mike Kafka, whose system is similar, or Andy Reid or whomever, they seem to love you forever. So I do think Speck's point about them being fiercely loyal about their guys is valid. I don't know it's elevated to the Dayton Moore point yet, because at the end of Dayton Moore at the Royals, I think he was blind to the problems because he thought his guys were going to fix it and just be part of the cure, and they were actually part of the problem. Your Mondesis, your Doziers, your, we can name the players. So I don't think it's elevated to that level of bad yet, but I do see the comparison, because the Chiefs, man, they love people who have been in their building before. And when you're losing, you're now seeing the text line and social media say, maybe some new blood would be nice. And they have historically not done that.
Could you argue that's been the case at wide receiver? What you're talking 100%. About, that being loyal 100%. And bringing those guys back this offseason, when I think most people would have welcomed a little bit of a shakeup in the room, they decided to virtually run the same room back. It's the same room as last year. Now, we didn't know about Tyquan Thornton. He was a guy who was a practice squad player, was on the reserve list. You ended up bringing him back. So they get all the credit in the world for that move. But outside of Jalen Royals, they didn't really add anybody in 2025. They were happy to bring back Juju Smith-Schuster. They were happy to bring back Hollywood Brown. Now that Mecole Hardman got let go, we'll see if they bring him onto the practice squad. You are right. Like, the same way that Dayton had his guys, Veach and Andy certainly have their guys. And I think at least what you're running into right now is, now when your offense is stalled a little bit, now it is time to possibly go outside of that comfort zone and kind of start to find some new blood to replace them. That's why when yesterday I gave you my list of what I'd like to see change with the offense, I was told that you got Breshad Smith to play that Jerick McKinnon, that Samaje Perine role. Well, their offense could really use that kind of weapon, that you're throwing it to them 5 to 7 times. You're getting them out in space. You're using them out of the backfield. You're doing screens. That could kind of substitute your lack of ability to run the ball if you can now utilize him in that short passing game. So some of it is just being more creative and using the weapons that you have. And the other side of it is just getting more out of the players that you currently have on the roster, getting more out of Juju, getting more out of Hollywood Brown, and getting more out of your right tackle right now. He has 7 penalties so far this season. Those penalties have had negative effects on Kansas City. They hurt you in week 1. They hurt you in week 2. And it took a scoring drive away for them in game 3.
Like I said, I'm not all in on the take. I'm not saying it's a perfect take, no notes, perfect. Yeah, I should say that, and I'll get a raise. But I don't think it's that perfect of a take. But I think the analogy is pretty solid, and some of the text line makes this point. Another point about Dayton, which his loyalty cost the Royals, and why this analogy could be something to keep an eye on, is that you could argue that Dayton staying loyal to his guys, who were probably should have been moved on from, hurt the rebuild and set them back. What did you talk about on the show Monday? The Chiefs, you know, position players, their weaponry is all out of their prime. That's not just like, hey, they played. I mean, Travis Kelce's an exception. That's not because they played here for 6 years and then the time had just come. They targeted guys out of their prime in free agency because they are their type of player. So I think the analogy is pretty strong. I hope Andy Reid and Brett Veach buck this trend and maybe next offseason or with the trade this year, target some new blood, something different to energize this offense.
Coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Jeff Schwartz, former Chiefs offensive lineman, former Panthers offensive lineman, also played with the Giants. He's had a lot of comments on the Chiefs O-line, also the running game and how they could get it going. We'll really break down the Chiefs O-line and the rushing attack next with Jeff Schwartz. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with CDOT. Tune in as Nate Taylor of ESPN joins the show in studio every Friday at 4 on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. The Drive, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam, so you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
We're going to be joined by Jeff Schwartz here coming up in a bit, but I want to tell you guys that you can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and also Paramount Plus. So watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 4 matchup between the Ravens and the Chiefs. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by former Chiefs, former Panthers, and former Giants offensive lineman Jeff Schwartz joins us on the show. Jeff, how you doing, my man?
I'm good. I'm in New York City. I'm just taking a short saw. I saw your boy Danny earlier today. We're in the same studio together, so my life is good.
That's good to hear, man. A lot of things I want to kind of get your opinion on. Let's just start with this. We played the audio clip right before you came on. Andy Reid said that aside from the penalties, Jawan Taylor has been a plus for them in pass pro, and they're not planning on making a move. His penalties really frustrate me. I think you've seen them stall drives and take points off the board. How do you evaluate how their right tackle is playing right now?
Yeah, he needs to line up on sides. It's like that. It's that simple. Because he's always been a good pass protector. You know, the negatives on him only are the penalties, right? It's like, look, you can tackle. You can do what wide receivers do. You can get in your stance and you can turn and point to the side judge or line judge and say, like, am I good? And if you do that a couple of times, you're pretty much going to be okay. If you line up too far back one time, then they'll give you a warning. But you know the penalties, like, you just have to stop it. Like, otherwise, he's fine. Otherwise, he's a big player. And there are lots of stats on what penalties do to stall offensive drives. And for so many years, the Chiefs' offense, it didn't matter. But now it matters, right? There's the margin of error has gone so small without the wide receivers, and maybe Thornton's helped with that a little bit last week, but. You know, first and 15, second and 15, like, they're not overcoming that at the rate they used to because the offense is not as good. So it feels even worse now when he gets a penalty for that reason.
And that's kind of been my point, too, that with the amount of injuries that they have right now in the wide receiver room, it's tough to overcome a missed kick by Harrison Butker. It's tough to overcome a penalty on third and 12 in which Pat converts it. But now that penalty, you got to replay third down. And they're just adding up all of those things. I would at least entertain a switch to Jalen Moore at right tackle. Are you at that point, or do you think they should ride out with Taylor?
I think Taylor's just better than Moore. And you have to have a talk with them. Like, I think Andy Reid benched them for drives in the past, you know? If Moore was better, I think he would play. And Andy Reid, one thing about Coach Reid, man, he's never going to show allegiance. Like, he's whoever gets it done for me, man. More in there. I just don't know if Moore's better right now. And so that's where they're at, right? Like, you can't just take him out. There has to be someone viable to come in. Again, Toronto's a good pass protector. And the numbers this year show that. I saw a tweet earlier today with, the PFF numbers or something, some official website, and Taylor's near the top of right tackles. He's a good player. He's got to stop. Man. Like, it's like when you have kids, right? You tell your kids, like, I just want you to, like, start well, right? Like, do the things, like, to start your day well. And for him, it's start your day by just lining on sides. It shouldn't be that hard. Just do that simple thing every day. Every time you get up to the line of scrimmage, make sure you're on sides, and it would stop all of this.
Right now, we're talking to Jeff Schwartz, former offensive lineman in the National Football League, just getting his thoughts on the Chiefs' offensive line and what they need to do moving forward. Let's talk about the run game. You've been pretty vocal about the run game. This team, they just cannot run the football despite spending a lot of resources on that offensive line. What are you seeing from them? Why have they been unable to run the football successfully?
So I complain about this for probably going back to my brother was on the team, it's just not him enjoying the football. And I'm not saying has to be your offense, but you do have to try to run the football. And even last game, like, there was the touchdown drive after the half was probably their best drive in weeks, right? It was a great drive. They ran the ball twice under center, and they got 20 yards and two rushes. But then, like, they didn't do it again. And you have to try to run the football. And their scheme, I've hated their scheme for years. It's not anything new. I've said these things on social media before. I think their run scheme, shotgun, inside zone-ish most of the time, or some sort of between the tackles run. They run outside zone with a back offset weak. And by the time that it takes too long to get the back going front side, because the backs are slow, man. Like, they're just... I hate calling anyone slow. I'm as slow as can be, but there's rushing yards over expected, essentially, right? Like, do they get more yards than they should? And the answer is no. They get negative yards. These backs, Kareem Hunt is older, is what it is. Pacheco got hurt, unfortunately. He was never really a sprinter type guy. And so you combine really the lack of commitment to a coherent run plan, plus running backs are not very good at breaking tackles, and you get where you're at now. And then they pass the ball. So when you're passing the ball as well as you normally can, teams don't care about the run. So you're able to sort of break out some runs and make it happen. But now you can't pass the ball really. So teams are like, well, we'll stop the run too. So look, I think that if they just committed to doing it, they'd be fine. We've seen in small samples where they actually try to run the football conventionally under center, and it works out just fine.
That's kind of where I am with this team too, is I don't know if they have the infrastructure to kind of run out of the shotgun RPO sets. I want to see them just line pad up under center, get Isaiah Pacheco's movement going forward, use his natural momentum, and just simplify the game for him a little bit. Hey, hit this gap, make one cut, and just go. I think that could really help boost this run attack.
It can, but again, they're breaking no tackles, man. Like, I get it, 6 yards to 6 yards, but, you know, six would be nice if you get 22 to make someone miss, you know, like, it just, so I'm with you. Like, I would love more downhill runs. I think that it also opens up Mahomes' play action pass ability, and he obviously, he's still throwing the ball deep, we know that. We saw him, obviously, the one pass interference, the ball at 70 yards, we saw the two throws of Thor, like, he can do it, so. You go under center, you open up the plaques of pass a little bit, and, like, there's just more offense you can run. And what's so funny about, like, Andy Reid is he grew up doing that. Like, that's the West Coast offense in a nutshell. And, you know, he's gone away from that, obviously. He's going to get it. You go more gun because it makes, you know, Mahomes more comfortable. But Mahomes is operating fine under center, too. And, like, you know, look, here's the other thing, too, that's kind of frustrating is, so, you know, Pacheco takes out Simmons on a run, on a pass play, on a play action pass, and that was the first backwards pass was because Pacheco just trucked Simmons. I have no idea why. He's not supposed to be in the C gap. There's no reason for him to be over there. But he trucked Simmons, and then, you know, the backwards pass, and the other backwards pass, like he just like ran backwards. I don't know how Alice Supply tweeted out. He ran the wrong direction. So you just gotta be better at that position, man. And I thought Smith would play more. You know, Reed's always been hesitant. Sorry about that. He's walking in the city. Reed's always been hesitant to play young guys, which a lot of coaches are, so I'm not surprised. But I thought Smith had a little bit of juice in the preseason, and I hope he gets a little more run. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
Jeff, I'll get you out of here with this last one. It comes off to me like Isaiah Pacheco is just thinking too much right now. Like, he used to run with a certain anger, a certain violence. You mentioned just not breaking tackles. I think since that leg injury, I don't think that it's physical anymore like it was last year. It feels much more mental to me.
And that's certainly true. I can't profess to know what's in his mind. I know that when I've been hurt, you know, it takes time to sort of, the hardest part about being hurt, honestly, is that sometimes you just never recover to your 100%, right? And I've had that in my career where my last injury, like my ankle just never got back to 100%. And you just overthink things because you can't physically do what you used to do. And so you go to, I remember there were times I watch film and I'm like, what am I doing? Like my body is moving in a way that I didn't think he was moving that way. It's because you just physically can't play the same way you used to. I'm not saying Pacheco's at that point, but I understand the mentality of players that get to that certain point of their career where your body just betrays you essentially. And it's hard to adjust in real time when that's happening. So again, I'm just pure speculation, of course. Right. But I could see that playing a factor in maybe, you know, his confidence as a runner.
That is our guy, Jeff Schwartz, joining us on the show today. Really happy to talk to him about the Chiefs' offensive line. Jeff, man, appreciate you popping on today, man.
Take care, buddy. Have a good one.
Absolutely. That is Jeff Schwartz joining us on the show today. Happy to catch up with him and get his thoughts on the Kansas City Chiefs. Can we take a quick detour away from the Chiefs? I promise you we'll come right back, but there is a topic that I want to get you guys' opinion on because maybe I have just gotten soft. So there is a head coach. He is the head coach of Wagner University. He is currently under investigation from his school. He is under investigation for mistreating and verbally abusing players. Now, I mean, I can't say the words on the radio that he called the players, but he called the players a word that starts with a P, a word that starts with a B, and some other words. He then told another player when the player asked for water. The coach then told the player, if you're thirsty, just swallow your spit, and wouldn't allow the players to get a water break. So the players started hiding little water and little Gatorade bottles around the gym. Well, the coach found the Gatorade. He found the water bottles. And then when he found them, he told his team that they were going to run until all the Gatorade was out of their bellies. So the players, 2025, in which they got a little bit of power, they went to the administration, told on the basketball coach. And now the basketball coach is under investigation and might be suspended. And I clicked on the mentions of this because I was genuinely curious what people thought. And a lot of people were on the coach's side of this. These players are just getting soft. This is what playing basketball should be like. This is what playing sports would be like. I went through a lot worse when I was coming up. How dare the players do this? And in some ways, I understand that philosophy. Like, this was part of sports growing up. Your coach would yell at you. Your coach would curse at you. Your coach would call you a name. You would have to run. You would have to do all these kind of things. And that is just part of what playing sports was like. This is my question to you guys, 913-586-7965. And I mean this from a very genuine place. Why have we accepted that this is coaching? Why have we accepted this? What part of coaching is not allowing college students to go get water at the end of drills? Or high school players? Remember that scene in Remember the Titans when, I don't know, but the offensive lineman asked for water. He's like, water makes you weak. No, water is very important. We've been doing exercises. I'm thirsty. Coach, let me go get some water. I want to come back and continue said drill. Why have we accepted that kind of treatment as coaching and making you more of a man and teaching you discipline? That's not what it sounds like to me. So when I hear this and I hear, well, this is how I was coached. This is what it should be. These players are getting soft. What if we have just quite simply realized that this isn't the most effective way to talk to 15 to 20-year-olds anymore? And that maybe, just maybe, as we have become in some ways a more evolved society, maybe we have just simply learned that we shouldn't treat other people this way. Why are you calling a 17-year-old a female dog? That's part of coaching? That's part of teaching them discipline? That's to make you better as a man, as a football player? That's teaching them life? That doesn't sound like a message we should be teaching kids. You can't go get water. You got to be running suicides. We can't get a drink. And then when we do actually get something to drink, we're penalized for it. I just don't know why we have equated these things as coaching and a part of the experience of playing sports. That part is lost on me.
I don't disagree with what you're saying. I think coaching has become too much sometimes of, look how much I'm yelling at my players to, you know, elicit toughness. But I do think there's a line, because you've seen the social media clips the same way I have. Nick Saban, when he was coaching Alabama, did not take it easy on his players. He was harsh on his players. He never prevented them from having water, though. He never called them weak and words that we can't say on the radio because they were thirsty. We've all heard stories, and like, it's KU basketball lore about how difficult boot camp week is up in Lawrence. But there's a pretty stark difference between boot camp in Lawrence and, I'm going to make sure all the Gatorade gets out of your belly. I do think there is something to coaches are trying to push people to the brink to kind of bring them together, galvanize a team. That's what coaching has always been. But I think that line, when you cross it from, hey, we're trying to make you tougher, and you pass it, is a larger fall off now than ever before. And maybe that's why the Nick Sabans and co are not in coaching. But I do think, a little bit to the commenter's point on your story, some of that just is, hey, they have to coach you tough to develop a toughness. I think this guy went way too far, though.
Yeah, and I guess what my question is what are we defining as toughness, and what is allowed and what is not allowed in this? Like, I'm reading the text line. if we are comparing what it's like to play college basketball to going to the Marines, then haven't we just lost the plot in all of this? Going to play basketball at Kansas is not serving in the military. So how you motivate and mentally prepare them to be the best that they can be, we should acknowledge that that is very different than what you need to go play basketball against Iowa State at Hilton Coliseum. That's what I mean in all of this. I feel like we have been told our entire lives this is what is acceptable behavior from the coaches and people who are supposed to have our best interest at heart. And I think now as we're just getting older, and maybe now that we're the parents and we're the old guys, we're like, wait, that actually didn't make me really feel good. It didn't make me feel good at 15 years old for this 40-year-old man to be yelling at me and screaming at me. And he was making it seem like this was the best thing for me. And no, it actually made me want to quit playing sports. I just want to know why this is part of the experience. Now, maybe the cursing part of it, like, all right, him calling you a punk, like one of the words, like, all right, him calling you a punk, like, you got to be a little tougher than this. Like, since when have we just allowed, like, how is cursing at teenagers, how is that getting the most out of them? That just is lost on me in all of this. The water thing is just insanity to me. Like, we've now gone past the point of anything, because I watch these NFL games, they drink a lot of water. Almost every time they stop, I see they have somebody else. The players don't even squirt water in their own mouths. They have some woman come around or some random man come around and squirt the water for them. So we get water in the game. Why can't we get water in the practice? That's the part that is extreme in all of this. That just, I don't understand why we have classified that as coaching. And it just seems like there are better, more effective ways to get the most out of people than that.
And this is my point. I think there is a not so subtle difference between belittling a teenager and yelling at him to get your point across. I don't mind if a coach is yelling at you. To my Nick Saban point, I think there's like, it's like a famous clip now. If you have an Instagram reel, you've probably seen this clip where he's yelling at one of his players that he has to cut harder. Like, you can't just lollygag a slant. You got to cut. And he throws his hat and he's all angry. He in that moment is coaching. Yes, he's yelling. Yes, he's, you know, being demonstrative, but he is still, in fact, coaching and teaching. He's yelling, cut, you gotta cut. There is a pretty big difference between Nick Saban doing that, and I'm cherry picking a Hall of Famer, and this coach at Wagner saying no to water, which is insanity to me, and belittling the kids. I don't mind yelling at the kids if you're yelling because you're angry or frustrated or you're trying to get your point across. Yelling at them and calling them names that me and you would be fired for saying in your own gym in October, September of college basketball season is far beyond the line. And I think, to your point, the line has become blurred for some coaches of what is being demonstrative and yelling while still teaching and coaching versus what is demonstrative and yelling and now belittling your team. They are two very different things. And I feel like people, bad coaches mostly, blur the lines on what the two are.
I think just as I've gotten older, and we can move on and talk about the Chiefs, I just wanted to get you guys' opinion on this. If you just tuned in, there is a head coach. He is the head coach at Wagner University. He was recently suspended from coaching. The players went to the administration and talked about some of the practices that they have had. He called the players some names. He also wouldn't let them get water during drills. And my main point was just when it comes to coaching, like, why have we just accepted that this is a part of coaching? I think at least for me in my own life, this is just where I am, is I'm just big on if it can't be reciprocal, then maybe we shouldn't do it. Like, I'm not going to talk to you on the text line any way that I wouldn't want you talking to me. I'm not yelling at you if you also, because I don't want you yelling at me. And I think in a lot of these situations, what we just see is the players have been able to level out the dynamic of things. 20 years ago, the coach could treat you any kind of way he wanted to, because what option do you have? If you choose to leave this university, you got to sit out for the next year. Who knows what that means for your academics? Maybe you can't go play somewhere. So the players just quite simply didn't have a whole lot of power back then. I think what you are seeing now is it has to be much more even, because the players have a choice. They have a say in the matter anymore. You can't talk to a certain player any old kind of way anymore, because if he doesn't like the way that you talk to him, I can just leave. I don't have to be here anymore, and I can instantly go play somewhere else that is going to put me in a much different environment. That's not too much different than life. Some of you will quit your job because you didn't like your boss and you just instantly went to go work somewhere else. You don't have to put up with, hey, I don't like this person. No, it's time for me to go find another job. That's also life too, where there has to be a back and forth between adults and in the environment. There has to be a yin and a yang. And I think for too long, we have just accepted that the coach has all of this power and the students have none of this power. And I think what you were starting to see is something we've always known from the very beginning of, it doesn't have to be that way. I don't think the players should have all the power. And we talk about limiting them, whether it's an NIL or the transfer portal, but the coaches also shouldn't be able to operate however they want to. There has to be balances in the way that this thing works.
I also think, to your point of, you know, college is changing. If you're going to yell at and belittle a kid's going to transfer. I've always felt like the pros have always made this work. Like, Andy Reid is one of the best coaches in the NFL, maybe of all time. You know what I saw him do on Sunday? Chest bump one of his players and get in one of his best players' faces yelling. Bill Belichick might not be working in college. He was on the cover of Us Weekly, but he's probably the best NFL coach of all time. Do you know what he did with guys making money on his team? He was still able to coach them and get the best out of them and discipline them without ever being in the news for being a problem. Like, I understand your point about NIL and players can transfer now, and I get it. The text line's making that point too. But I think that point's just a little bit lame to me, because NFL football and basketball coaches, or NBA coaches, excuse me, have been able to do all the same things college coaches are, with discipline, building a program, building a culture, all that stuff. And you don't hear stories about them being like, well, it can't coach because so-and-so makes $1 million. I think the NIL excuse is a little bit lame to me at times.
Coming up on the other side, I want to talk about the Chiefs defensive line. They performed great in Sunday night's game. They're going to need to do that on Sunday against the Ravens. I'll give you the numbers next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
You know what? I know that sometimes myself and the text line, we have a love-hate relationship, but I really do appreciate you guys. I want you to know that. I'm proud of you guys. I really am proud of you. Rob, have you noticed that we have not had a single text today? It is 4:45. We've been doing this show for almost 3 hours. Not a single person has asked if we want the Chiefs to bring back Mecole Hardman. Have you noticed that? Not a single person on the text line. We've received thousands of texts today. Not a single person has said, hey, what do you guys think about the Chiefs bringing back Mecole Hardman? I am so happy that you guys, it would appear that you are ready to break the chain of them only knowing the names of four wide receivers. There's more out there. I promise you. You got to go out. You got to start dating some new people. You got to start seeing new people. Maybe this is the Tyquan Thornton effect. He wasn't somebody that you knew, wasn't somebody that you were keeping eyes on, but you know what? You decided to give it a chance. And you know what? It's worked. It's worked. All of the time that you guys spent talking about Justin Ross and Jody Fortson, who would have known that they actually signed that player and it works? That's who Tyquan Thornton is. All of those guys that you got fake excited about back in the day, look, it's worked. I'm serious. I'm really proud of you guys. He got released today from another team. He didn't make it to week 8 on two other non-Kansas City teams. The Jets instantly got rid of him. Instantly got rid of him. And then the Packers didn't get rid of him. I'm serious, man. It brings a tear to my eye. I really feel like you guys are growing. I feel like you're maturing. I feel like you're better. And I'm proud of you for that.
You say it now.
No. Just don't even know. I don't want to have a topic about it. No.
Whenever he inevitably signs on the practice squad, you know the text line is going to say, what do you think he's going to add to the offense?
No. Nothing is what I think he's adding to the offense. I don't think he's adding anything. I don't want him back. I don't want him on the team. I don't want him around the team. The only way I want him walking into Arrowhead is if he's going to bang the drum. If he's going to bang the drum or sing the national anthem, great. If he's going to be the honorary coin toss captain, they got these billboards around the city. Yes, great. Don't give him a jersey. Don't give him pads, cleats, shoes, any of those things. No.
If he was singing the national anthem, I think we'd lead the show with it. That you singing the national anthem?
I don't care.
That'd be crazy.
I don't want him playing for the team. I don't want him anywhere near the team. No.
Isn't his wife friends with Taylor Swift?
Yeah, and she can continue to be friends.
Time for Taylor to make a call.
Rob, if you stop working here, that doesn't mean we're not friends anymore. Like, it doesn't. I can still find time to spend time with you. I still love Caroline. Like, it doesn't have to change. So, no is the answer to my question. Let me give you guys this stat about how the Chiefs' defensive line, they performed very well on Sunday. The Chiefs pressured Russell Wilson on 54% of his dropbacks. Now, you guys might be thinking, well, that means they sent a lot of pressure. In fact, they did not. On the 37 dropbacks from Russell Wilson, the Chiefs only blitzed 6 times on Sunday. So the Chiefs, they got pressures from Chris Jones, George Karloftis. They both had 7. Omar Norman Lott, they had at least 5 pressures. And they also got to the other team's quarterback. Now, that's good. That is great to hear. I love it. The Chiefs' defensive line dominated. Their defense dominated. Outside of Cam Scataboo, they didn't really do much offensively. The Chiefs took all of that away. Malik Nabers didn't do anything. Wandale Robinson didn't do anything. They didn't really generate a whole lot of offense. Now, that's one thing to be able to limit the Giants' offense that is already limited by they had one of the 5 worst quarterbacks in the league. That will not be the situation coming up on Sunday. But this mindset of we didn't need to blitz, we were able to get pressure and dominate with our front four, that is the pathway to shoring up some of your defensive issues against some of the better teams. They have not gone up against a passing attack that could really exploit them since week one. I know Philadelphia is the best team in the league. We all know that's not what kind of passing offense they are. Certainly not what the Giants are. I don't care what they did against the Cowboys. That's not a good passing offense. They are going up against a team that can score, that can beat you on the ground and through the air. So this is another test for that young secondary, another test for that defensive line to see if they can control the line of scrimmage. You saw the Lions do it, and they got great pressure on Sunday or Monday. Can the Chiefs do the same coming up against the Ravens this Sunday?
I mean, seven sacks is incredible by the Lions. I think that's a lofty goal by the Chiefs. I think it's maybe an unattainable goal. But I hope that the Chiefs' D-line looks more like what the Lions' D-line did to the Ravens than what the Chiefs' D-line did to the Eagles. Because you're right. The Eagles are not one of the best passing teams in the NFL. And if you just looked at Jalen Hurts' stats passing the football against the Chiefs that day, you would be unimpressed. And I get why. But there were times watching that game, the old eye test, that you noticed, oh, Jalen Hurts has all day to throw. Like, he has an eternity back there. I joked after the game that he had a time to bake a cake. If the Chiefs give Lamar Jackson time to bake a cake in the backfield, he will burn you, either with his arm or he'll just eject and run. And he is probably the most dynamic running quarterback we have in the NFL, maybe in the history of the NFL statistically. So I don't need seven sacks. Probably unattainable. But I want that defense to look more like what the Lions did to the Ravens than what the Chiefs did to the Eagles the last time they took on a quarterback with mobility.
Why did I even say Mecole Hardman's name?
You spoke that into existence.
Why did I do this? CDOT, I think Mecole is a better receiver than Hollywood Brown. Okay. Am I being punked? Are you guys trolling me? You can't think that. That cannot be a real, genuine, honest opinion. Why did I even mention Mecole Hardman? I don't have anything against Mecole. I think he's great on a personal level. I really do. I like Mecole. It's over. He had a great life. He got to the NFL. He's played in a Super Bowl. He's won Super Bowls. He is part of an iconic moment and memory and history in the National Football League. I think all of those things. I think Mecole Hardman's career is done at 27 years old. Unless the Chiefs are bringing him back, I don't know how another team thinks that it's going to work. He was on the Jets for a millisecond. He never got to play for the Packers. It doesn't work for Mecole. It doesn't work. Some guys just, that's their career. It was all right. It got off to a decent start. You had some injuries, and I just life moves on. It's time to go work with Sean Barber at the McGinnis Group. That's what I would tell you to do. You got a degree, right? It's time to use it. I hope you saved your football money. It's over. So no, I don't think he's better than Mecole. Hollywood. I don't think he can help the Chiefs. I think his career is over. I think it's done.
I agree with you. But can I say, I don't think the Texter's wrong about saying that Hollywood Brown's overrated. I think Hollywood Brown's better than Mecole Hardman. But I don't think Hollywood Brown's better than Tyquan Thornton. I don't think Hollywood Brown is just like some sacred cow, can't find a guy better than him. I think he is better than Mecole, but the second part of the Texter's text, the first part's wrong. The second part about him being overrated, I think is actually a fair point.
I guess I would just ask, like, overrated compared to what? Like, no one thinks that Hollywood's a dog anymore. I don't think anyone has that opinion. I agree with you. I think today I'd rather have Tyquan Thornton than have Hollywood Brown. I think Hollywood Brown is fine. I think he is fine. He's not the player that he was a few years ago. I think a lot of that's just injuries. Like, one thing that I think we as fans, and I think we all do this, I'm guilty of it too, is we kind of treat these guys like they're all Wolverine. Remember Wolverine could like get injured and then just like heal himself and go back to normal? Like these guys can like play football, have surgeries, do all this rehab and just keep being the same player. Like I don't know how you can watch Hollywood today and yeah, comfortable in the offense, all of those things. Like I don't see the explosiveness. I don't see the ability to run past anybody. I don't see the ability to make guys miss or break tackles. The more and more you play football, the more you get hit, especially like we're talking about a 5'9", 180-pound person. Man, it's hard to keep playing this level of football at that high of a level with the injuries that you've added on. So I'm with you. I'm not the super – I might have been wrong about Hollywood at the very beginning of the season, but he's still an NFL receiver. I don't think that's what Mecole is at this point in his career. I don't think he's an NFL player anymore.
I think the league thinks that too, because unless he's a Chiefs practice squad member, I think he's just unemployed. And it's sad that's a second round pick and that's how it ended up, but he made a lot of money and good. I'm sure he'll live comfortably for the rest of his life.
Somebody says, if you're talking about bringing back a former wide receiver who scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl, how about bringing back Young Joka to sing the national anthem? It's time to end this segment and move on. It's The Drive.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.